They got all of 18 minutes. I guess they're going to maximize it. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. You can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Last week we were talking about blessed are those who hunger, and thank you, Brother Ian, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And, you know, you can secularize and socialize the gospel, or you can see everything from God's perspective and understand why we do what we do. After Adam's sin, the Father never intended for the world to go on in the path and course that it was headed as a result of Adam's sin. The plan of salvation was enacted immediately, even before Adam's sin. The scripture says that Jesus was slain, the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. So God already knew what he was going to have to do even before it had to be done. And his intent is to get everything back to his original plan. Hallelujah. That is his ultimate goal, to get everything back to its original plan. And because he's the author and finisher of life, as well as of faith, because he's in charge, because he created the heavens and the earth and all that is and all that was and all that will be, everything's got to end up like he wants it to be. And so, as believers, we can't get locked up into the normal routine of just living until we die. We live on purpose. We live for a valid reason. We live as sons and daughters of the Most High God to fulfill the hope of our God's calling, if you will. We live on the path of the righteous, if you will, but we live on that path of, okay, this is all temporal. And the only reason we're here, now that we're born again, is to continue the work that Jesus started. He finished his part, and he went on. Then the church was birthed some 10 days later after he ascended. And since that time, it's like God's final plan has been activated, and it's going to continue until it concludes. But again, and I've said it before, and I hope you understand what I mean, this is not an open-ended thing that a generation can come into existence and just, you know, la-di-da, la-di-day, here I am, you know, doing everything my way type thing, where we just live carelessly and recklessly as if this is all that there is to life. There are people that believe that there is no God. There are people that believe that there are many gods. There are people that believe that there's nothing after death, if you will. And then there are people that believe the truth. And some people believe different things that they call or claim to be the truth. But I hope you understand this. The Father has a work to be done. And it is until he says, okay, it's done, that we continue to move in that direction of completing the work itself. It never ceases. His work could more than likely outlive us on the earth. By that I mean this. If Jesus Christ does not come back and rapture the church in our time, another generation will come forward and we'll go on and be with the Lord. It's not like the Lord needs us up there so that he can have some more angels, because all of the angels are created. But we're only in this earth suit for so long. For some of us, 70 years. For some of us, 80 years. For some of us, you know, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. Some of us, just one day. Some of us, just an hour, if you will. A short span of time on this earth. But if Jesus tarries, we're going to die, and we're going to go on to be with the Lord. although we die, yet we shall live because we trust in Christ Jesus. So our time now is to be used for the glory of God. Amen. Paul makes it plain. He says, you have been bought with a price, and the price was the blood of Jesus. And he says, therefore, or that's why, we glorify God with our body. Amen? It's not like, you know, mandates and orders and commandments and things of that nature. It's just like we finally come into the realization of what life is all about. And life is all about, first of all, we were created to be eternal beings. And we were created to spend all of our lives in the presence and fellowship of the Lord. That's why God created us. It wasn't like he, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost were bored, that they had nothing better to do. So let's see, what can we do today kind of thing? It was by divine plan and purpose. They have the saying called, it's not original intent, but it's like, who knows that term? It's not original intent, but it's like God's design. You have evolution and then you have, is it design? Is that what it's called, design? It's a term, you know, and it's like, it's supposed to be the opposite of evolution. But God's, is it design? Divine design or intelligent? That's it, Brother Enzo, thank you. Intelligent design. Excuse me, we didn't just evolve out of some primordial soup, but intelligent design. So God has intent and purpose for us as the church of the living God, and this is what we're all about. This is why we come together. We come together, we share about the good things that God has done, we encourage and build up each other, and then we go right back out there and continue doing the work of God. We have our responsibilities, we have our families, we have our jobs, but those are just, you know, temporal things. The main reason that we're alive is to glorify our Father. We have been, we have been hired by him, although we're not hirelings, but we have been placed in the kingdom of God to now do kingdom business. That's our occupation, really. That's the main occupation that we cannot deny as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are in the soul-saving business. Bless God. Amen. God's desire is that none perish, but all come to repentance. So it's God's will that no soul perishes or goes to hell. But souls will perish and go to hell because they reject Christ, okay? But our assignment now is to get as many as we possibly can, by the wisdom and power of God, get as many saved and brought into the kingdom as we possibly can, because God doesn't want nobody to go to hell. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says, hell was created for the devil and his angels. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says what? I just want to make sure that you're listening. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Hell was not created for humanity. However, humanity will go there because of their rejection of Christ Jesus. He's the only Savior. Hallelujah. There is no other Savior. He's the only way, the truth, and the light. You hear that time and time again. But we need to remind ourselves of that, because when you come up against others that believe different things in different ways, you don't need to be timid or backing down or, you know, afraid to say, well, you know, Jesus said he's the way. You know, don't be afraid of offending people by standing firm in what you believe in. You ever want to know how serious God was about salvation? Just remember Christ going to the cross. He went there for us. Amen. So with that being said, our lives are mapped out by God as far as what he wants us to do. And it behooves us to get in line with what he wants us to do, because that's when we're at our best, and that's when we will experience the Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's where we experience abundant life. Abundant life is not having a large bank account, not living up on a hill with 6 or 7 cars, if you will. You know, the abundant life is not about those things. Now, those things are nice, and you can have those things, and you can enjoy life a little bit better than you would in a beat-up Volkswagen that might fire, you know, might go out on you every now and then. But that's not the abundant life that Jesus talks about. Hallelujah. So with that being said, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, as I said before, he like lays out things. And the way he lays it out, it's almost like, man, Jesus wants us to be wimps and sissies in the world. You know, he wants us to be like, you know, just little sheep. And some of us, we don't have that kind of an attitude and mindset. Some of us, we have a fighting type of spirit. We have an angry spirit, if you will. We have a vengeful spirit, if you will. We have these things about us from the way that we were raised, the environment that we came up in. You know, it could be a result of our ethnicity or what have you, you know. But when we come into the kingdom, Jesus, transformation time, hello, let me tell you how things operate in the kingdom. Okay, blessed are the poor in the spirit, bless God. And so it's like, man, what does that mean? Does he want me to be poor? Well, no, he's not saying that. But being poor in spirit is simply being humble in spirit, if you will. It's being empty of yourself, lack of you, and an abundance of him. Praise God. Amen. And so the stronger you are in your spirit, or that ungodly spirit that you may have or had before you came to Jesus, you know, the stronger you are in that, the weaker you're going to be in the kingdom. Amen. And it's when we empty ourselves of ourselves that God can fill us with him. You know, and when we're full of God, there are no Lord, not now. I ain't ready. You know, let somebody else go. You know, I got to go do this. I got to go do that. I got to, you know, it's like when you're full of God, it's yes, Lord, and amen. Hallelujah. So, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. Okay, do I have to be sad all the time? No, you shouldn't be sad all the time, not in Jesus. But there may come a time where you may grieve and mourn. And one of the grieving and mournings is like Jeremiah. He grieved over the sins of the people. He grieved over the state of the children of Israel, if you will. And we ought to be grieving over what's been happening in the body of Christ as the church of the living God. We can't take the mindset and attitude of, well, that's just them. Whether it be in-house or whether it be around, you know, the state of the church is not very good. And so even with that, there should be that grieving and that mourning. But also with the grieving and mourning, also realize that we will be comforted. Hallelujah, because we're not on a hopeless end of things. Like, you know, there's no hope, so we're just living this sad, depressed, mourning type of lifestyle. It's like, no, Jesus says we will be comforted. Hallelujah. And so there's that grieving, there's that mourning, there's that poor in spirit. Then he says there's that meek, which we sometimes take as weakness, but meekness is power under control, as I said before. And then Jesus says, blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that righteousness is not just, you know, just doing good deeds and just things in society. I believe those things are good and have their place. But the righteousness that Jesus is talking about is the righteousness of God that is in him. For our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And if we ever think that by being a good person, this is why we are saved, because we are a good person, we find ourselves, you know, on the wrong side of salvation, if you will. But we receive the righteousness that is of Jesus Christ. The scripture says, he who knew no sin became sin that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he imparted his righteousness to us simply by us believing. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and then it was accounted unto him for righteousness, if you will. So our righteousness is not anything of our own. It's what the Lord gives to us. Amen. And it's his righteousness which puts us in right standing with God, gives us the opportunity to communicate and fellowship with God, because there's no more judgment against us. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not trying to work this thing out ourselves. We cannot obey the law. Praise God. But the law is still good. And the thing about it is we'll never be able to obey the law in the flesh. But if we're walking in the spirit, Jesus will give us the grace to fulfill, because he's already prepared the way for us. Amen? Hallelujah. And if we miss it in one, we don't have to fear or worry. We just need to repent. That's it. And repent genuinely from the heart, which means to turn away from that. Have a godly sorrow that brings about the fruit of repentance unto salvation. Amen? Not one, oh, I got caught this time, and so, you know, when ain't nobody looking, I'll go back and do it again. It's like, no, this is being straight up with God. Now, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then he goes on, blessed are the merciful. And then he says, blessed are the pure in heart. And then he says, blessed are the peacemakers. And it's like, man, Jesus calls us into a whole new way of living. And he don't expect us to just be quiet and just live to ourselves. He's like, get involved. Have a pure heart. What's a pure heart? A clean heart. David said this in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence and don't take your spirit from me. David, under the old covenant, knew that the spirit of the living God was with him and in him. David was an Old Testament saint that lived under a new covenant, if you will. He knew his God. This is why God highly favored him. Praise God. Said there will always be a man on your throne just because of the way David conducted himself before God. Did David miss the mark? Yes, he did, but David repented. You know, he repented from his heart. And even when David was in his old age and he was kind of keeping to himself because that last battle that he went out and fought in, he almost got killed. And his men had to come and rescue him. And they said, from this point on, you are not to go out to battle no more. We're going to preserve you and keep you. So they kept him out of battle. But then all of a sudden, David was like reclusive and to himself. And so they tried to bring this young girl in there, because they felt like a young damsel could come in and probably spark him. And, you know, he's cold and maybe this will light a fire within him. But David is like, no, I'm getting ready to go on and be with the Lord. I ain't got time to be sinning no more. Those days of sin are over, and he kept himself. Hallelujah. So blessed are the pure in heart. In other words, there's nothing evil, nothing malice, nothing hateful, nothing spiteful, just a pure heart. And how is it that we maintain a pure heart except by daily fellowship with the Lord, daily going before him? Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me. There may be things that you did that you don't even realize, but Lord, cleanse me of every thought. There may be thoughts that you knew were wrong and you failed to deal with them. Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse my mind. Purify my heart. I don't want to be double-minded, and I don't want to have an evil, wicked, unregenerated heart. Lord, purify my heart. Give me clean hands. Give me a pure heart that I may serve you. That's a prayer we ought to pray every day. Amen? Hallelujah. How often do you take a shower? Don't answer that. But, you know, amen. Most take, you know, regularly, a daily shower, if you will, or bath, if you will, to cleanse the body. Why? Because the body gets dirty, it gets filthy, and it starts to smell. Well, the spirit can do the same thing if we do nothing to keep it pure and clean. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, going into chapter 7. He says, because God says, I will be your God. You shall be my people. I will walk in you, among you, dot, dot, dot. And so he says, since we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, if you will. So not just dealing with the flesh, but even the spirit. And you know, the soul definitely needs help. James said, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. To continually keep ourselves pure. David said, how can a young man cleanse his way? Anybody know? Come on, Deacon Patton, by taking heed to the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is like water. It cleanses, it washes, it sanctifies. And you put the blood of Jesus on top of that, I'm talking about you are sparkling clean. Sparkles are coming from you. You may not notice it, but demons notice it. Praise God. Amen? But this is a daily basis. And as you continue to allow yourself to be cleansed by the presence, by the water of the word, by the blood of Jesus Christ, as you continue to walk with God, remember this, always remember this, if we have fellowship, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So in our fellowship with God, in our fellowship with him, he's cleansing us. Does not the word say, and I don't know what these scriptures are just coming, so I'll just keep quoting them. Ephesians chapter 5, does it not say that he might sanctify the church by the washing of the water with the word? He's dealing with husband and wife relationship, but he says, I speak to you this mystery, and this mystery is concerning the church and the relationship between the church and Christ Jesus. I'm just paraphrasing, but it all has to do with that cleansing. And so having that pure heart on a daily basis. You know, when you rise up in the morning, the best time to spend time with the Lord is in the morning when you get up. He don't mind your bad breath. Praise God. Hallelujah. But if you feel, you know, a conviction, go brush your teeth, if you will. Wash your face and go before the presence of the Lord. But if not, just roll out of that bed. Don't lay in the bed because sleep is going to take you over. But roll out of that bed and go and seek and spend time in the presence of God. That is the best time. That is the freshest, if I can say it, if that is a word, that is the most fresh time that you have. Your body has been resting. Your body has been rebuilding itself, replenishing, and, you know, just, you know, running through the checkpoints and making sure everything is okay. And you're energetic at that time, even though you might feel sleepy. But if you push yourself through it, eventually that sleep will leave and energy will come and you'll be in the presence of God. And then you walk out of that in victory over everything that comes your way. First of all, you'll start the day with a clean heart and a pure mind. Amen? Clean hands, pure mind, all of that. So Jesus says, you know, this is the life of the believer. I'm teaching you about the kingdom is what Jesus is saying. You got to have a pure heart for you will see God. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. And the peacemakers are like, man, Jesus expects us to go out here and stop violence. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, he's like, I don't expect y'all to just sit down and do nothing. Peacemakers. First, we got to have peace with God. And the word of God says this in the book of Romans, chapter 5. He says, therefore being justified by faith, we now have peace with God. Hallelujah. So we got to establish that first, because if we don't have the peace with God, we can't experience the peace of God. And from that, now we are peacemakers. Hallelujah. And the main peace that we're trying to establish is peace between the ones that don't know God. Get them on that same page that we are, that they now have peace with God, that they now have a relationship with the Lord. And if they don't want it, you know, we can't get bent out of shape because they rejected us. We just have to keep on going to the next person. Because this gospel is good, and this gospel is true. And if people want to reject it, don't spend all of your time trying to force them to believe. Your life is the greatest witness and testimony of what you believe as an individual. And when they see your life, they see your walk, they see how you carry and conduct yourself, they say, well, they really do believe in what they believe in, even if I don't believe in it. My unbelief won't stop their belief. Praise God. Neither will it stop their obedience. Bless God. They are on a mission. They're on an assignment. They've been born. They're of a different world. Yes, we are. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Jesus is like, okay, I'm going to lay it out on the line. When you stand for me, you're going to meet opposition. But do not be moved by the opposition. The opposition is only coming from the powers of this present darkness. Why is it coming? To shut you down. You know, it's an interesting thing in watching these debates and all that are going on. I'll say this and then I'll stop and we'll pick it up next week. Because I don't know whether you pay attention to it or not, but anyways, it's interesting because if people don't like you, they will do everything to try and tear you down, to make you look bad in the eyesight of others. And so there's this super PAC. Everybody knows what a super PAC is? Okay. Well, I got one yes, so everybody else might be, I'm not sure. Super PAC is this political, like, action committee, if you will, this group of people, investors, they're going to invest in their particular candidate. And so what they will do is they will do commercials and things like that to make their candidate look good and every other candidate look bad, or whoever's close to them, if you will. And there's this one particular group today, because they're mad. They were okay when Donald Trump came in second place in Iowa, but they had a little hissy fit, if I could use that. I don't think I swore. I don't think I cussed. But they had a little hissy fit because he took first in New Hampshire, and he took first by a large margin. It was higher than what they thought it was going to be, higher than what the polls projected. As a matter of fact, he was supposed to win Iowa because they had him ahead in the polls. And then they found out something that was done. And so Trump said those polls were correct, because the people were saying the polls are incorrect. You know, the numbers were way off. Trump said those polls were correct, but because this guy did this, it took away some of the votes from this other person. And if he had not took those votes away from the other person, he would have came in less than me and I would have won Iowa. and he was never supposed to win Iowa. This is not a hoorah for Trump thing. I'm just saying. But this political action committee said they exist for the sole purpose of tearing down Donald Trump. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having that kind of mindset and attitude? My whole reason for living, my whole reason for being in existence is to tear you down. Now, there is an adversary that wants to do the very thing to you. His whole reason is to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, he has come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And so as a people of God, even though you may have adversaries and opponents out there, you got to know that the one that's on the inside of you is greater than the one that's on the outside. Amen? Hallelujah. So you got an adversary that wants to destroy you, defeat you, keep you down, beat you down, whatever he can to keep you from fulfilling your purpose in life as far as God's standard and God's purpose for you. He does not want to see you fulfill the hope of God's calling. So he will do anything and everything to keep you down. Now, it's not all him, because he does not have authority over our lives any longer. That connection was broken through the blood of Jesus Christ. That ownership was canceled through the blood of Jesus Christ. We no longer belong to him. But because we belong to God and he wants to shut down the work of God, it really has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with our Father. But because he can't do anything with him, he goes to the one next to his heart, which is you and I. And so he does it through oppression and depression, discouragement, deception, every other thing to keep you down. Hatred, bitterness, anger, and resentment. He uses all of those things to keep you in the place of being ineffective for the kingdom of God. And Jesus is like this. I need you to be a peacemaker. I need you to have a pure heart. I need you to be meek. I need you to hunger and thirst after righteousness more than you hunger and thirst for anything else. I need you to mourn, and I need you to be poor in spirit. And then he says, and you're going to suffer persecution. Okay? Let the persecution be because of your stand for Christ and not because we've done something wrong. Amen? But even in this, the Lord is with us. Persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I have to stop there because of time. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. The rest I'll give you probably Sunday. Well, not the rest of this, but I had some other things tonight, but I won't get time to get to it. But I pray that even as we're going over these and just taking our time with it, that we're receiving something that's shaping and molding and fashioning us. Because I said, after we read chapters 5, 6, and 7, which deals with the Beatitudes, and then go into chapter 8, then it's all about going to work. Because this would seem like, man, Jesus, you're going to make us, you know, everybody going to step on us, everybody going to do this to us, and, you know, we can't fight back, and, you know, they can slap us, and we're supposed to turn the other cheek. You're going to make us into wimps. And he's like, no, I'm going to show you how the sons of the kingdom operate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because, see, if you're going to fight your own battle, God's not going to fight it for you. You're going to be your own defense, the Lord won't defend you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. And if you're afraid to be persecuted, you ain't going to last. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of the worst persecution comes from your own family. But you can't be moved by that. Love them, they don't understand. But once they get the understanding, then they can receive. Hallelujah. But if they don't have the understanding, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Yeah. There's something wrong with you. You go to that church, don't you? That's one of the you know, and then they make you feel guilty about, yeah, I go to, you just say, yeah, praise God, I go to that church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Church is alive. Amen. I'm receiving something from that church. Praise God. God's moving in that church. Hallelujah. Sinners are being converted. Praise Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for visiting us with holy visitation tonight. Thank you for everyone that tuned in live stream, everyone that came out to fellowship, everyone that was able to taste and see that you are good. Lord, continue to increase in us as we spend this time with you, as we pursue you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Continue to transform us. Continue to make us look like Jesus. As we pursue you with passion from our heart, transform our very lives. Work miracles, work wonders, Lord. Isaiah prophesied, I and the children you have given me are for signs and wonders. Father, that prophecy was concerning Jesus and the church. We are for signs and wonders. Do great works through our hands. If you could just lift your hands to the Lord right now. Father, anoint our hands. Anoint us from the crown of our head and let it go down to the soles of our feet. Eyes to see in the realm of the Spirit, ears to hear the voice of Almighty God, and a mouth to declare your glorious works, hands to work the works of God, and our feet, Lord God, to walk in the path of righteousness for your great name's sake. Father, may our walk speak to others. May our walk speak to demons that we belong to you, Almighty God, and not to another. And that in everything that we do in word and deed, we bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name, everybody who agreed said amen. Amen. Bless them, Father. Bless them and keep them. Make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. Let your name be over them and their household, that you may bless them, that they may enjoy the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living, and above all else, they may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not triumph over them, but they will triumph over the gates of hell, because we are the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. Bless them everywhere that they go. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, be blessed. We have anything this weekend? Oh, yes, we do. Praise God. Guess how many we got going to the Mary Fellowship this Saturday? We got 38, almost 40. That's like 19 couples. Yeah, yes.